Once there was a man who lived with his wife and his young boy. He loved his son and did whatever he could, spending time with him. But after the boy was put to bed at night, he would often walk down to the town pub, where he would spend many hours and a lot of money drinking and laughing with the other men who gathered there. Somebody once approached him and was concerned about his practice, but he's like, "It's all right. I know how much I can handle, and besides, nobody's getting hurt." But one winter night, as he left home and was partway to the bar, he heard something behind him. And when he turned around, he saw his 6-year-old son jumping from one footprint in the snow that he had just left. He smiled, bent down, and said, "Go on home, son. You can't come with me right now." And the little boy looked up to him and said, "But Dad, why? I want to be just like you." And that made him stop and think of where he was going. And he gathered up his son in his arms and he walked back home, never went back to the bar. That's a nice story. But what if he hadn't turned around and seen his son coming? What if he hadn't noticed his son was following until he got all the way to the bar? Or what if 15 or 20 years later he realized that his son was indeed following in his footsteps? The truth is, more often than not, we don't hear the footsteps behind us. Now, on this Father's Day, I want to ask our dads here a question. If your son or your daughter followed you around and started acting like you, would you like it? Be like the little girl, preschool age girl, that dropped something as she was playing and out came a swear word. And mom got all upset. She's like, "Where did you hear that?" We already know the answer, right? Well, that's what daddy says. Oh yeah, they watch, they listen, and they follow. So this morning I want to address this idea of following Father's footsteps. I'd like to do so by turning to a passage of the Bible we don't often turn to. It's the book of 2 Chronicles. It's back in the Old Testament, not 2 Corinthians in the New. 2 Chronicles. See little puffs of dust come out of our Bibles when we turn to that book. We're going to begin in chapter 26. I'd like to introduce you to three men that had relationship with their father that we can all learn from. The first that we meet is a man named Uzziah in the opening verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'd like to begin in verse 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God through the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Here we have a young man who became king of Judah. He reigned for a long time, and he was one of the few good ones. There weren't many. There weren't any in the northern kingdom of Israel. There weren't many in the southern kingdom of Judah. But Uzziah was one of them, and so was his dad. And what we see here is that Uzziah lived in his father's righteousness. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, he just somehow inherited it, that it just happened. He had to choose to do so, but he did. He followed in his father's footsteps in serving the Lord. And that made for a very successful career. I think it's also important to note that Uzziah's mother is named. That didn't happen very often. And when it did, it's because the mother also had quite an impact on the child, either for good or for bad. I get the impression that this was for good. I believe Uzziah had a mother and a father that followed the Lord. And that left a great impression upon him. In Proverbs 1:8, a book of practical wisdom written by the wisest of all men, King Solomon. Solomon writes, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." We're told to listen in the first phrase. We're told, do not forsake in the second. It doesn't just mean don't ignore what our moms are telling us, but we should not leave it out of our living. See, in the Bible, we are never told to listen without also being told to obey. In fact, I think that is a good biblical definition of listening. And sometimes there will be a distinction between hearing and listening. I mean, anybody that has ears that work can hear, right? But not everybody who hears listens. Not everybody who hears takes it to heart and acts on it. That's why Jesus would say after many of his teachings, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Don't just let the words go in one ear and out the other. Take it to heart, put them into practice. I believe that's what Uzziah did. Proverbs 3:1 that was read for us earlier also brings out a truth that applied to Uzziah's life. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. And you'll notice at the end of that passage I read about Uzziah, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, he had success. Uzziah enjoyed the returns of an obedient life. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, we're always going to be healthy and wealthy when we follow the Lord. I know that gospel gets preached and it's just not true. It's not realistic. We all live in a fallen world. We all go through our difficulties. That's going to happen. What I mean by living a successful life is following God in spite of the difficulties and being able to persevere to the end. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is addressing the people of Israel. And he says in verses 1 through 3, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. How? By keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it will go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, had promised you. Here is a command with a promise. That goes back to the Ten Commandments. Paul points out in Ephesians 6 that there's one of the Ten Commands that has a promise. Honor your father and your mother that you may enjoy long life. Now, I know as I was growing up, I always thought, you know, you honor your father and your mother or your life will be cut short. Right? You want to live long on the earth, you better listen. That's not bad advice. We need to not only hear, but truly listen, take it to heart, and do what we're told. Mark Twain was quoted as once saying, "When I was a lad, my father was an idiot." It's amazing how much the old man learned as I grew older. My guess is he hadn't learned all that much. It's more Mark Twain's perspective that changed, right? When we're young, we don't appreciate how much our fathers know and have learned in their lives. They've learned a lot of things the hard way by experience. And we're going to see later in this message how even those lessons can be beneficial to us if we're paying attention. Uzziah was a man who lived in his father's righteousness. So for us dads, as well as moms, are we placing such an example for our kids to follow? Should they lead a life of faith, could it be likewise said of them, just as their father or mother had done? And for all of us, are we open to what our fathers and our mothers can teach us about living for God? Now, the second example in 2 Chronicles is in the next chapter, chapter 27, a man named Jotham. In verses 1 and 2, we read, "Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord." So what is that all about? Well, back in chapter 26, verse 16, we read about Jotham's father, Uzziah. And it says that Uzziah, after he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He started off right. He's following the Lord. He's obeying his commands. But then he got a little too full of himself. And what transpired was, at one point, Uzziah decided, "I'm the king. I want to go and burn incense in the temple of the Lord." Problem was, God said only priests do that. You say, well, he's king, he can do what he wants, right? No. There were still laws, even for the king. And Uzziah learned this the hard way, because when he went in to burn incense in the temple, he became a leper. And he was an outcast for the rest of his days. Started off great. Had a long life of obedience to God and success. But in the end, his pride got the better of him. And the consequences were severe. When his son Jotham became king, he did not forget what had happened to his father. We're not told whether Uzziah talked to his son about it. I'd like to think that he did. I think there was some time in between that incident and when Uzziah finally died. So my guess is there were times when Uzziah would say from a distance, "Son, don't make the same mistake I did. Don't follow too closely in my footsteps, because you don't want to end up where I am." And Jotham learned from his father's rebuke. He learned the lesson and did not follow in his father's sin. In fact, in verse 27 of verse 6 of 27, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly with the Lord. He continued to live in obedience, and he learned from his father's rebuke. I think there's a couple of lessons that we can learn from Jotham. First, we need to give careful attention to our fathers so that we don't experience the same failures in our own life. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about discipline, which always has its goal of turning aside from wrong and from destruction. In Proverbs 9:9, we read, "Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. If we ever get to the point in our lives where we think, I don't need to learn anymore, I've got this, I can handle this, we're setting ourselves up for fall. We should always be open to the learning of the Lord, but also learning from others as well. We can even learn from their mistakes. Of him it could be said in Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. Could that be said of us? Can we learn from the mistakes of others, or do we have to go and learn it the hard way ourselves? Jotham was a man who learned from his father's rebuke, and he benefited from that. The second lesson speaks to us as fathers. Again, we're not given details, but I do believe that at some point Uzziah, after his downfall, had to have communicated to his son, don't do what I did. He could admit to his mistake. He could take ownership of it. He could advise his son against it. And as dads, we can do that with our kids. I know they look up to us as heroes, but remember, we're human. And it's okay to let them see our humanness. It's okay to admit when we've been wrong. It's okay to admit the mistakes we've made so that they don't have to make the same ones. It is true that Jotham learned from his father's rebuke, but I think part of that is because his father shared that with him. Maybe he just learned from observation, but I think there's an opportunity we have with our children to share with them our mistakes, our failures, so that they can learn from them. Now, the final character I want to consider this morning was exactly the opposite of Jotham. We got to go a few chapters into 2 Chronicles to chapter 33, down to verse 21. This is a man named Ammon. And Ammon lost despite his father's rebellion. In verse 21, it says, Ammon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Ammon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. But unlike his father Manasseh, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Ammon increased his guilt. Ammon's father was King Manasseh, and of all the wicked kings in Israel and Judah, this guy was the worst. He was terrible. It said that blood flowed like water in the streets of Jerusalem. There was violence all over. He brought idols into the temple of the Lord. He sacrificed his own child to an idol. According to Jewish history, it's not recorded in the scripture as such, but according to Jewish history, Manasseh took the prophet Isaiah, who was in his 80s at the time, put him in a hollowed out log and had the log sawed in half. Which may be what Hebrews 11 is referring to by those who were sawn asunder, probably referring to the prophet Isaiah. Manasseh did that. He was the worst of the worst. You take all of the horrible dictators of the last 100, 200 years or so and roll them all into one, you've got Manasseh. Horrible, horrible man. And finally, God had had enough, brought in the Babylonians, they removed him from the throne, took him back and put him in prison. While he was in prison, he humbled himself before the Lord. He repented of his evil, and God restored him. That's the story of Ammon's father. And Ammon followed in his father's footsteps to a point. As I said, he was the exact opposite of Jotham. Instead of following in his father's righteousness, Ammon followed in his father's rebellion, continued to do the same evil things that his father had done, but he did not learn the positive lesson of what happened in the end. In fact, he increased his guilt, which is basically saying, you thought Manasseh was bad, just wait. And he only reigned 2 years. He lost, despite his father's rebellion and repentance, I can add to that. He did not turn his life around. Maybe he didn't have a chance, since he only had 2 years. Maybe he thought, oh yeah, my dad repented and got right with God, but boy, did he have a lot of fun before then. I'm going to live it up, and I've got plenty of time later on. He didn't. And he goes down in history as a failure in God's eyes. Proverbs 15 speaks of such an individual. In verse 5 of that chapter, we read, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. In verse 32 of that same chapter, he who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. That's not only discipline given by the father, that can be the discipline of the father. We can learn from our dad's mistakes and not make that same mistake. I always thought I was blessed being the youngest in the family. I had two older brothers. And as I watched them do things and the consequences of them, I'm thinking, I ain't doing that. Didn't mean I didn't do stupid stuff myself, but you know, at least I could learn a little bit, right? But not everybody does. I remember many years ago, and the names that I say, if you recognize them, you'll know how old this story is. Many years ago, I preached about an Old Testament character who is described as dying the death of a fool. It was a man who knew the law of the land, but he got caught up into stepping outside of the protection he had, was killed. And his epitaph was, he died the death of a fool. He didn't need to die. Well, back then there was a tragic example of just that taking place. There was a young man by the name of Len Bias. He was a basketball player. He was one of the best basketball players in the nation. He had just finished a successful career at the University of Maryland, and in the NBA draft, he was drafted second. You say, wow, why would anybody have been drafted ahead of him? I'm still not sure even who that was. But he was drafted second by the Boston Celtics. That made up for not being drafted first. The Celtics are a storied franchise with many championships, and they were convinced, as was everybody who covered sports, Len Bias is going to be the cornerstone for years of success. The Celtics have really set themselves up to get back to their prominence. The world looked incredibly bright. And that night, Len Bias was partying with friends, celebrating his new opportunity and all of the money and fame and fortune that would come through that. And somebody approached him and said, hey, you got to try this stuff. It'll blow your mind. He said, what is it? He said, cocaine. Well, Len Bias had never done any drugs, he lived clean throughout his life. That was one of the reasons why he was so highly touted. He had lived a clean life, took care of his body. But that one night, somebody said to him, why don't you try this? And he did. And he died. That fast. Whether it was because he had never taken any before and it was given too big of an amount, who knows? I don't know. He died. One time, killed him. And that was the end of his life, the end of a promising career. Everything that looked like was going to happen, gone in an instant. And you say, how tragic. What a tough way to learn a lesson. First time that you step outside and, you know, you say, well, you call that the death of a fool? No, not him I'm talking about. Because 6 weeks later, another young athlete, this time a football player, named Don Rogers, on the night before he was going to get married, was at a party, and somebody came and said, you got to try this stuff. It's really great. What is it? Cocaine. Now, trust me, Len Bias was on the lips of everybody, especially in the sports community. But this guy decided, well, that's not going to happen to me. And exactly the same thing happened to him. One time, dead. On the night before he was to be married. That's the death of a fool. Not learning a lesson that's right in front of your face. That is really a death that could have been avoided. Because he didn't learn. Oh, he knew what happened. Everybody knew what had happened. But we get this idea in our minds, oh, that's not going to happen to me. Oh, that may have happened to a lot of other people, but not to me. It sure can. And it does. And that's where Ammon lost, despite his father's rebellion and repentance. Again, maybe he thought, oh, I got plenty of time. I'm young. He was what, 22 years old when he became king? And his dad had reigned for 55 years. He probably thought, well, I got plenty of time to get my life right. Not so much. He did not learn. And in the end, he was lost. Oftentimes, people do the same thing, following in their father's footsteps, repeating the same foolish mistakes of their dads. Now, I do not believe that we are genetically or psychologically bound to follow in our father's footsteps. Sure, there's a big influence that they have. You can argue genetics, you can argue upbringing and all that stuff, but in the end, it's still a choice. You can choose to learn and go a different way, or you can choose to go the same way. Going the same way might be the easier choice, but it's still a choice. Ammon was such a person that Proverbs calls a fool that despises himself. Wouldn't learn. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happen to them as examples that were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. You ever wonder why we got all those stories in the Bible, names that we can't hardly pronounce, and do I really need to know this stuff? Well, that's why it's here. God is saying, hey, look at this. Listen, learn a lesson here. Don't do the same foolish things and end up in the same horrible place. This is a great advantage if we listen, if we learn. Again, I believe two lessons emerge. To the fathers, be careful of your life. Make sure that you're setting a good example. And even when you do fall, it's okay to admit it. You can make that a learning opportunity for your children so that they don't have to suffer the same as you did. For all of us, we can't blame our father or our mother or anyone else for our lives. I mean, here's an example of two men, Jotham and Ammon. They were both given opportunities to learn from their father's mistakes. One did and one didn't. It was a choice that was made. But while we're all responsible for our own lives, we should learn lessons from those who go before us. We have Uzziah, who lived in his father's righteousness. You have Jotham, who learned from his father's rebuke. And you have Ammon, who lost despite his father's rebellion and repentance. Where do we fall into those lessons? I also want to close with an appeal to the dads here today. And there are two passages from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. The first is found in 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." Paul, as their spiritual father, is saying, follow my footsteps. I want you to imitate me. Wow. Those are strong words, Paul. You really want people to imitate you? And then later in that same letter, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's why Paul could say this. Paul isn't just saying, follow me because I'm such a great guy. Follow me, I know all the answers. No, he's saying, you follow me because I'm following Christ. Realize that when people follow us, we're leading them somewhere. What's the destination we're leading them to? If we're following Christ, then we can welcome others to follow us. But we have to make sure we are indeed following Christ. So as you walk through your life, don't be surprised if you hear footsteps. The question is, do you want them to go where you're heading?